this morning. Amen. Sister Crystal texted me just a few moments ago and said the reason they weren't here, going to be here this morning, they had been praying. She had been praying about getting to see. She has two children that aren't in her custody, and she's been praying about getting to see them, and they made arrangements for her to get to visit with them today. So just remember them in prayer. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer before we turn to Scripture this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy, dear God, in our lives, dear God, every day, Lord, that as you, Lord, just shine out your word and your life and your mercy and grace around us, Lord. And we thank you for this service this morning, dear God, that the opportunity we have, Lord, to come in together, Lord, to worship in your name and in your spirit, dear God, and Father, and to come to hear the word. Now we pray, Lord, that you will come, Lord, and anoint us this morning, dear God, to be able to speak, Lord, that which you've laid on our heart to be a help to the people, Lord. I pray for Crystal and Corey, Lord, you be with them today, dear God, and help them, dear God. And we ask, Lord, for anyone, Lord, that was not able to be here this morning, dear God, you know their need, Lord. I pray you'll minister to those needs, dear God, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. If you could turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, and I want to read two verses of scripture there, verses 29 and 35, or 29 and 30, I mean. We're going to continue on speaking on the election of God. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Amen. You may be seated. While you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Acts chapter 13. I'd like to read a couple of verses of scripture there, verses 46 and verse 48. And verse 46 says, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of the Lord should first be spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Now, Paul and Barnabas were speaking to the Jews at that time. Now, read on down to verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Amen. You believe because of who you are. You were born a child of God, but we're born into this world. We're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We came into this world speaking lies. We were in need of salvation, every one of us. I don't care what part or what background or life you came from, whether you came from a life where you were raised in church your whole life, or whether you came from a life from the dregs of the world. It doesn't matter. You were born a child of God, and you're able to believe because that's who you are. It was revealed to Abel what the sacrifice that God would accept, and Abel believed it. It was later God actually spoke to Cain and told him, if you worship like Abel, bring a sacrifice like he did, I'll accept it. But Cain refused that. Cain couldn't believe that. And it's because of who he was. And Abel was, he could believe because of who he was. And you believe. not because of who your mom and your dad was or whatever, or who your grandpa was. You believe because of who you are. Brother Branham said that God could call his children from, it could be the pairing of two of the worst people in the city, bring forth a child, and that child actually be a child of God and come. Didn't matter how bad or his mom and dad were, that was just the earthly parents he came into this world from. That was the earthly parents he received this flesh from. But your life you received from God.
Amen.
Amen. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2 and we'll read verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So you're walking the way you're walking today because God foreordained you to be that way. God never ordained you to walk in the things of the world, but you were born into this world. And because of your earthly parents and because of the background or the influences that were over your life, you ended up in the situations that you were in. But that had nothing to do with whether you belong to God or not. God doesn't look down and say, I'm only going to take people who were born in church. Because there's a lot of people that were born in church and raised in church that are going to hell because they don't worship God in spirit and in truth. They don't even know God. They know a form. They know a church. Church is not what saves you. It's Jesus Christ that saves you. He never said if the church be lifted up. He said if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Amen. Now, it's not that God wants to condemn anybody. God doesn't want to condemn anybody. Just like we read in our studies here about Jacob and Esau. God didn't want to condemn Esau, but he knew who Esau was. He knew what Esau would do. And before Esau was ever born, he knew that Esau wouldn't care nothing about that birthright. And he knew that Jacob would. God's not willing that any be lost, but he's willing that all would come to repentance. But being that he's God, he knows who will come and who won't. God gives everyone a choice, but he knows what choice you're going to make. He doesn't say, I choose this person and I send that person to hell. No, he gives everybody an opportunity, but God knows who's going to take the opportunity. Turn me into the book of Luke, chapter 14. And I want to begin reading verse 16. Now, we studied out of this scripture at one point last year and preached a series of messages out of it, but I just wanted to go back and pick up this passage of scripture to show you that the invitation is to whosoever will. But God knows who will. All right, Luke 14 and verse 16. This is Jesus giving a parable here. He says, then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. That means he invited many. And sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I've bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. First of all, why would you buy a piece of ground without seeing it first? I don't know. But there's nothing wrong with buying property. But the person put that first in their life. And another said, I have bought five yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. Again,
Wouldn't you prove them before you bought them? Wouldn't you want to know what you're buying? I mean, who goes to a car lot and says, I'm going to buy this car right here. It's a used car, but I'm going to buy it. I don't want to test drive it. You don't even got to start it up. You don't even got to show me you got the keys. Here's the money. Nobody does that. I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Now, the thing is, there's nothing wrong with any of these things that they've done, but what it was, what Jesus is trying to get across here is, they didn't have God first in their life. God comes first before anything else. God comes first before you. God comes first before your husband or wife. God comes first before your children. God comes first before your mom and dad. God has to be first and foremost in your life. The Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. Then all these things will be added to you. Amen. And so the servant came and showed his Lord these things. And the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Then the Lord said to the servant, go ye into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of these men that were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now, this is a parable that Jesus gives. In other words, it's something Jesus, a point that he's trying to get across here. There's something he's trying to teach here. And that you realize that there were people that were bidden, who given an invitation, whom society would have thought they would have been worthy of the invitation. But they rejected the invitation. Then he says, go into the streets and lanes in the city and bid these people who a lot of folks wouldn't think was worthy to come and be part of this supper. And still there was room. And he says, now go into the highways and hedges. I'll tell you what, we ain't got enough yet. Go out and get the drug dealers. Go out and get the drunks. Go out and get the adulterers. Go out and get the whoremongers. Go out and get them, because the Bible said, such were some of you. But you have been called. You have been sanctified. You have been justified. You've been glorified. Amen. So he goes out, and you know, there are people that come that maybe their mom and dad had come before them, and their mom and dad became Christians, and then they were raised that way, and so they came. But there are people that were born in this world. They were born to sinners. They were brought up in sin. Sin's all they ever knowed. And God calls them too, because they're his children also. He calls from all walks of life, because this life has no bearing on who you are. That's Satan trying to take you. That's Satan trying to make you think you belong to him. That's Satan trying to make you think that you're not a child of God. And no one is exempt from that. I don't care if you've been raised in church, Satan will try to make you think you don't belong to God. You realize God knows who are his, but Satan doesn't. Satan don't know who belongs to God, and he doesn't know who belongs to him. So he tries to pull as many as he can pull. But I'm thankful that it doesn't matter what walk of life you come from. I'm thankful that it doesn't matter You know, you say, well, you know, and I've heard people say, well, you know, I never gambled, I never smoked, I never drank, I never got thrown in jail. So what? You still needed to be saved. That don't make you a better person. It might make you in society seem to be a more moral person. But that doesn't mean nothing to God. God's not coming back to rapture moral citizens. He's not coming back to rapture good citizens. I don't care how many good citizens awards somebody gets. He's coming back to rapture his own. These ones that rejected the invitation, he said, they're not going to taste of my supper. I'm not taking them. They rejected it. Look, friends, everyone is given a chance, an opportunity. You might look and think, well, this person was born in the world, he was raised in the world. Did he never get an opportunity? You don't know. Everyone gets an opportunity. Look, people in this world who pass by this church and never darken its doors will give an account before God because it was here. God sent someone. Turn me to John 3:16. This, a lot of folks quote this scripture. Let's read from 3:16 and verses 19. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God died for everybody. Whosoever will believe on him. But as we've been saying, God knows who's going to believe on him. But he's not willing that any should perish, as we said, but that all should come to repentance. And so God made a way for anybody who wanted to come to be able to. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Now, you in your flesh, maybe you, you know, whatever you were in this world before you came to God. And, you know, in your flesh, you might have thought, I love those things. I like those things. But there was still something inside of you that was longing for something more. There was something that those things of the world couldn't satisfy. There was a thirst there that couldn't be satisfied by those things. And then when the waters of life were offered to you, then you said, that's what I'm thirsting after. And it changed your life. Made you new creatures in Christ Jesus. Turn with me to John chapter 10. Verse 23, we want to read 23 through 30. John chapter 10, verse 23, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I have told you, and you believe me not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe me not, because you are not of my sheep. As I've said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. There's been many people come in and out of this church and other churches and other congregations of around the world. And there's been people that have come and brought friends with them. And something that was said that came across, it struck them. But perhaps maybe their friend walked out no different. They heard with these ears the same things that you were hearing, but it didn't have the same effect. These men in the Bible that come and ask Jesus, Are you the Christ? Tell us plainly. They heard what Jesus said, just like the disciples and everybody else heard, but they didn't believe him. They didn't believe what he said. He said, it's because you're not of my sheep. That's why you don't believe me. Amen. And he said, my sheep hear my voice, verse 27, and I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now, no one is exempt. And there's not a time in this world that you will become exempt. This side of the rapture from Satan trying to talk to you and influence you. He'll torment your mind in your sleep. He'll torment you with dreams that'll about turn your stomach. But there's nothing. If you belong to God, there's nothing that Satan can do to pluck you out of his hand. There's nothing Satan can do to prevent you from going in the rapture. You can't even pluck yourself out of his hand. So there's nothing you can do to prevent you from going in the rapture, because it's not your righteousness anyway. It's Jesus Christ's righteousness. He was the righteous one. He was the perfect one. He was the one found without fault. He was our perfect sacrifice. He died for our sins. Amen. Revelations 3 and 22, you don't have to turn there, but while I'm going to quote this scripture, you can turn to Mark chapter 4, and we'll begin reading at verse 1. And while you're turning there, it says in Revelations 3, 22, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Now, you might think, well, everybody's got ears. But it's not talking about your natural ears. It's talking about spiritual ears. Amen. Now let's read in Mark chapter 4, verse 1. And we're going to read another parable here that Jesus gives. And he began to teach by the seaside. And there were gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into the ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. and the fowls of the airs came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, and there were not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. Now, I just want to stop here a minute and point out what's being sowed is the word. And it says this as we go on. It'll actually say that in these verses when Jesus talks about the parable. It's the word being sowed. Now, there are people who get confused because it talks about a seed and of the word being sowed. And then it talks about you being born with the seed of God in you, which is also meaning the gene of God, or you being an offspring of God. And they're not talking about the same thing. God, through man, sows the seeds of the word, but he doesn't sow the seed gene of God in you. If you belong to God, you didn't belong to God because of something some man said. You always belong to God because you came from God and you're going back to God. Now, let's continue on. And some fell on stony ground, and which had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched. Because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they might see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. So he speaks the word, but it's in mystery. And it takes revelation to understand it. And no man can give you that revelation. It's God himself that reveals it to you. God, through the ministry, brings things from the word and breaks it down into simpler things to help you understand. And if you'd even look the way the prophet did a lot of things, he gave types and shadows of things. He would give analogies relating to nature and so on to help you understand. But there was a lot of people that heard the same things, and they went out, and all they had was, well, he just told a story about eagles. It didn't have no meaning to them. It didn't speak nothing to them. They didn't see, you know, I've had people in the service say, well, I went out of the service, seemed like he called me Esau. Well, praise God. There were other people who went out and were called sons of Abraham. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, know ye not, this is verse 13, know ye not this parable? How then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. There you go. And these that are they by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they heard, Satan come immediately and took away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these that are likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who when they heard the word, immediately received it with gladness, but had no root in themselves, so endured for a time, and afterwards when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they were offended. There's people that come, and they receive it with gladness, but then sooner or later something happens, something is said, and they get offended and leave. That's what it's talking about, these stony ground. And these that are sown among thorns are such that heard the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entered in, choked the word, and it became unfruitful. And these are they which were sown on good ground, such as heard the word and received it and brought and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. If you are ordained to eternal life, as we read in the scripture back toward the beginning of this service, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. If you are ordained to eternal life, you're going to believe. And the reason you believe is because you're ordained to eternal life. Amen. Those that are not ordained to eternal life, they'll hear the same things, but they'll go out and it'll have no meaning to them. It doesn't speak to them. They want a more social gospel, something that allows them to live as they had been living, but somehow have a claim to being something religious. God's children aren't looking to be religious. They're looking to be saved. They're looking to go to be with him. As he said, I go to prepare a place for you, to where I am, there you may be also. I want to be there. I know you do too. Hallelujah. Brother Branham says, all them that has their names on the book of life, God will call them and they'll hear. For Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. The only thing then you need to do is make a sheep call. The goats won't hear the sheep call. Turn with me to Revelations chapter 21. We'll just read one verse, but I want you to read it along with me. Verse 6 of Revelations chapter 21. John the Revelator writes here, and he says, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst. Who's he going to give it to? Him that is athirst. Friends, there are people whose thirsts are satisfied by the things of the world, and they don't look for anything else. But there's a thirst within the children of God that thirsts for something greater. You thirsted for something you didn't even know what you thirsted for, like the woman at the well. Friends, she was athirst for something, and she was searching for something, and she thought she would find it in this man, but she didn't. So she thought she'd find it in this man, but she didn't. So she tried another man, and she tried five men, and she couldn't find what she was looking for. But Jesus said, when he talked to her, he said, if you knew who you were talking to, you'd ask me for a drink, and I'd give you a drink that you'd never thirst again. She wanted some of that. She at first thought he was talking about the natural water in the well of Jacob. She said, you've got nothing to draw the water up with. But then as they kept talking, she realized he wasn't talking about natural water. He was talking about spiritual water. And she wanted some of that. Hallelujah. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. It don't cost you a thing. Hallelujah. Now turns me to Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. It's whosoever will. Everyone is given this opportunity. If you want to partake of it, come and partake of it. It's free. But it's going to take you from the things of this world. It's going to change your life. It's going to make you a new creature. You're not going to thirst after those things naturally that you used to thirst after. It's going to change your appetite. You take a little baby. When a baby's born, all it knows is milk. That's all its stomach can take at that time, is milk. That's all its digestive system can process at that time. So you feed it milk. But as it gets a little older and, you know, and it keeps growing, then the things within its body begin to change. And it gets to where its digestive system can begin, it becomes more developed. And as it becomes more developed, then it can digest other things. That's one reason Paul said, you've been in this long enough that instead of milk, you should be able to eat meat. But there comes a time in a baby's life where finally, you know, and usually it takes place around about 6 months of age, you say, give it its first bite of food. And I'll tell you what, when you give that child his first bite of food, it starts smacking its lips. And usually, you know, you start out with baby food, something that's already kind of pre-digested a little bit. And they don't got to chew because they ain't got no teeth yet. And so they really take to that and really like it. But you ever let them get their first taste of real table food? Let them get their first taste of some mashed potatoes and gravy. And boy, I'll tell you what, they don't want no more of that Gerber stuff. Don't give me no more of that Gerber squash or Gerber green beans. I want the real stuff. And as they continue to grow and mature, then it becomes where they can eat more things. And instead of just mashed potatoes and gravy, then you can start introducing other things to them. And as you begin to introduce other things to them, and they begin to taste those things, and all of a sudden, their appetite changes. And after over a time, you know, the only reason they want the milk is just for comfort. They don't really need it anymore. What they need is the nourishment of the food that's being actually given to them, because their body begins to crave that because it needs it to continue to develop. And that's the same way with a child that comes to God. You start out and there's just maybe spiritual milk that's given. But as you keep developing and growing, then there's more and more things that come to your understanding. Maybe you heard them at the start, but you didn't understand them. But you said, you know what? There's something in me that believes it. And then you just keep going on, and your spiritual digestive system continues to develop. And as it continues to develop, you begin to understand more and more things. More and more things begin to make sense to you. And when you start really getting a hold of that, you know, boy, why, I don't got a taste for to go out partying anymore. I don't got a desire to go out to the bar anymore and hoop it up and have a big time in the world. I got a desire, I'd rather go to church. People in the world would think you were crazy. What do you mean you'd rather go to church and praise God than come out to the bar? Gets to a point where you say, you know what? It's like the the children of God that came out of the upper room. They came out of there and people thought they were drunk. They came out of there from receiving the Holy Ghost. And the way they were acting and the way they were talking and the way they were walking, people thought something's wrong with them. They must be drunk. They were drunk, but not on natural wine. They were drunk on spiritual wine. Amen. They were drunk in the spirit because they had got into the spirit of God. And the presence of God had come down around them and so enveloped them. I tell you, people, there's times when you get in the presence of God in this life to where you say, I don't want to leave that. And there's coming a time when we'll step into the presence of God and never have to leave it again. Many times we get in church. I know there's sometimes you get in church and it seems like you think, well, is this thing going to ever end? But there's times you get in church and it just seems like it's coming and you're eating and then all of a sudden they stop and you're like, well, I wasn't done yet. That's like somebody starting to take up the dishes before you got your plate cleaned off. But if you're hungry, you'll keep coming back. I keep coming back to the well of grace. Amen. Great is the power and sweet is the taste. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, you as children, you know, children are they're growing, they're learning to express themselves. And they something the other day was told to me, said Jessica had washed her hair and had her hair hanging down, and Teddy looked at it and it just so amazed him. He said, your hair looks tasty. He didn't know how to express it. Your hair looked beautiful or whatever, you know, or how it was making him feel, but in his words, it looked tasty. It looked good, in other words. And that's the way we are as we first come into the Lord. We don't even know how to express ourselves. And sometimes, you know, then as we go on, there'll be times when the presence of God comes down to where you just don't have the words. And so somebody hollers out and screams. Why? They ain't got the words to express what they're feeling. And somebody will take off dancing across the floor. Why? Because they ain't got the words to express what they're feeling. But it's causing something in them. It's just like when the Ark of the Covenant was brought back into Jerusalem. And David was so inspired. He began to dance before the people. And he danced before the Ark. Why? He was so inspired. He didn't know how to express what he was feeling. The happiness, the joy that he was feeling. He was so overcome with it. And his wife, Michelle, she was embarrassed by the way he was acting. And she said, how dare you act like that? You're supposed to be their king and out there acting like that in front of them. And he said, you thought that was something. Wait till you see this. And he took off dancing again. You get to a place where you don't care what other people are thinking about you. That don't have nothing to do with it. You're not even thinking yourself about it. You get so beyond yourself that, you know, it's like that song Brother Nate sings, you know, I'm going to get beside myself when I get beside the king that day. Amen. I'm going to let the glory roll when the roll is called in glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, the song says, I don't know why I get a little shy, but there's coming a day. Hallelujah. You know, we all express ourselves differently. And it's not that you got to express yourself any one given way. It's not that you've got to be like this brother or like that sister or do what they do. No, you just let the joys of God just flood over your soul and just let it come out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why? Because you belong to him. You know, everybody in this world likes to feel like they belong to something. So they'll go and they'll join this club and they'll join that club. And they'll join up with this group and they'll join up with this crowd. You know, and the children in school, you know, they like to belong. They like to feel like they belong. And people want to be wanted. People want to be loved. You'll hear people say, I don't care. Yes, they do. They just got grumpy because they don't think anybody cares about them. But, you know, they try to belong to all these different things. But, friends, we belong to a heavenly kingdom. And how do we know we belong to it? Because we're part of it. When we hear it talked about, it does something inside of us. Hallelujah. You know, in this earthly life, I always loved the mountains of West Virginia. And I always loved going there as a kid. And there's just something about West Virginia that Ohio just couldn't do for me. And I can remember as a little kid that I heard them say one time about, you know, we'd get to a point where we'd be able to travel like a thought. And I lived in a duplex. And my cousins there in Ohio and Cleveland lived under me, and they had a swing set. And I'd go out in the backyard, and I'd get on that swing, and I'd close my eyes, and I'd think about the swing, the tire swing that was tied on a tree down in West Virginia in my papaw's yard. And I'd think, if I concentrate hard enough, I'll open my eyes, and I'll be on that tire swing in West Virginia instead up here in Cleveland, Ohio. And I'd try real hard to concentrate and think it through to see if I could travel like a thought. Because there was just something about West Virginia that just did something to me naturally. And when I'd hear people talk about it, or I'd see pictures about it, or hear songs about it, then it just done something to me. And in the spiritual, when I hear things talked about where we're going, when I hear things talked about the marriage supper of the Lamb and how we're going to be called into the rapture and how we're going to be gathered around that table with like believers, and I get to thinking about that and I get to wondering, my goodness, and I know one thing, I'm not going to have a glucose meter there with me to check my blood sugar. I ain't going to have to worry about blood sugar. Because I'm going to be in a perfect body. My body I'm in now is backslid body. It's got backslid cells in it. And that's why it doesn't act right. That's why it don't treat me right. But one day everything's going to be set right. When I hear about those things, friends, I'll tell you what. When I start to hear about and think about the body change, it just does something to me. It means something to me. Now, you could talk to people, somebody maybe out in the world, and say something about the body change and be like, what in the world are you even talking about? It would be like you were talking Greek to them. But I'll tell you what, when the children of God begin to realize and they recognize that one day this old body that they're having so much problems with is going to be changed and they're going to be in a new body. I'll tell you, friends, there's something inside of them that gets excited about it. Why? Because that's where you're from. You know, I have lived all over the place. I've actually even lived over in another country before. I have had a home. I have had homes all over the eastern side and even part of the western side of this United States. But I always called West Virginia home. Nothing ever compared to it to me. That was in my earthly thoughts. And I'll tell you what, where I'm living now is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My home is in glory. My home is in a new heaven and a new earth. Amen. And when I come back to this earth after I leave it, I'm going to be changed. And then I'm going to be exempt at that time from Satan being able to have any influence and effect on me. Hallelujah. In this life, I exercise and I walk and I diet. But I can tell you something, friends, my new body ain't fat. I'm looking forward to a body change. That'd be better than any diet this world can offer. You won't have to, you know, staple up your stomach to get a quick change. It's going to be quicker than that, because the Bible says it's going to be in the twinkling of an eye. Now that's pretty quick. When I begin to hear about those things, there's just something in me that gets excited about it. I look forward to it. I'm looking forward to leaving here. And I'm looking forward to coming back here and tormenting the devil. Do you imagine, friends, he torments us in this life because he can have influence on our bodies. He can have influence on our spirit. One thing he can't influence is that soul, because that came from God and it belongs to God. But can you imagine how he's going to feel when we come back to this earth and everything he tries to do has no effect on us, body, spirit, or soul? He's going to be the one that's tormented then. Nothing I'm doing is having any effect on them. My oldest boy, you know, it was something about him he'd like to aggravate. He liked to agitate his siblings. And I used to tell him, just ignore him. If you ignore him, he'll get bored and quit and leave you alone. Because I could tell him all day long, quit that, leave him alone, stop that, leave him alone. But he'd like doing it. And friends, I'm not calling him the devil, but that's the way the devil is. He likes to torment and aggravate and agitate you. And he likes to do it to see what kind of effect it's going to have on you. He'll put a thought in your mind to see what you're going to do about it. He's already getting tormented by the children of God because he puts thoughts in your mind. And you maybe get to thinking on a thought, but after a while you think, well, what in the world am I thinking on that for? That ain't my thought. I don't want to think on that. And he's like, boy, it didn't have the effect I was hoping for. And he throws an old billboard up, you know, of some stripped off ladies and a bottle of beer. And they make somebody think, well, if you drink this beer, you'll have all kinds of women. You know, and you drive down the road and everybody else is driving down the road and it makes some of them want to stop somewhere off at a place and buy them a case. You drive on down the road and you look at that and it just goes on by like it wasn't even there. And that demon that's up there perched on top of that billboard's like, what in the world? Didn't have an effect on that person? Why? There's been something developing in you because you got a hold of some heavenly manna. And it's begun to develop. Your digestive system's come alive inside of you. You know, where you used to be able to eat that old buzzard food of the world, now you can't take it. You, even the thought of it makes you sick. Hallelujah. And we, you know, not all children develop at the same rate. you can take two that's the same age, and different things in them are going to develop at different rates because we're not the same. And God don't want us to be the same. God don't want to stamp out a bunch of Brother Jerry's. He only needed one. He wants this garden the way he's got it. Everybody being different. Don't worry about it. Say, well, it seems like so-and-so, they're getting this a lot quicker than I am. They're moving on a lot quicker. Don't worry about that. Here's the thing. He said the good work he started, he will finish it. Amen. The work that he started inside of you, he's going to finish it. Amen. You're not going to have to present yourself to Christ. He's going to present you to himself. Amen. That's what he said. He said, I will present to myself a glorious church. He's the one changing us. You don't got to change yourself. He changes you. This world's always, you know, trying to turn over a new leaf. Trying to evoke change maybe in themselves. But tell you, friends, to a child of God, once they get a hold of this word and it gets a hold of them, it begins to change them from the inside out. Like the song says, he's working on the inside. He's working on from the inside to the outside. Hallelujah. There's been a change in me. You know, I used to sing a song that said, I went back to some of the places I used to go, and people say, why don't you go there anymore? We ain't seen you in a long time. I say, well, there's been a change in me. Hallelujah. I don't go to them places anymore. I don't have a desire for them places anymore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, friends. You get in the presence of God and you don't want to leave. You don't want it to stop. You want it to keep on going. But we're still living in bodies of time. Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word this morning. We thank you, Lord, for walking us through these scriptures, dear God, and teaching us these things and opening up our understanding to them, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the reminders, dear God, of who we are. Lord, like the song says, roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. And then show me where you brought me to. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, we're looking for a time, Lord, when we'll be able to stroll down the streets of gold. We're looking for a time, Lord, where we'll be able to see the walls of jasper. Lord, we're looking for a time, Lord, to where, God, the storms of this world and this life will be over. There won't be no more natural storms, and there won't be no more spiritual ones in our lives. Oh, Lord, we're looking for that sweet by and by. Amen. Lord, a time of rejoicing, a time when we can worship you face to face. Lord, behold you in all of your glory. Lord Jesus, I pray for each and every individual here this morning, dear God. Lord, continue to strengthen them. Continue, Lord, to help them to grow, Lord. Lord, hallelujah. Lord, it didn't matter how many years we've been around this here, you're not finished with us yet. You're still working on me, as the song says, to make me what I ought to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless your people, we pray today. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.